Good morning, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, thanking you for your word. Oh, it is so good, Lord, to read your word and to hear from you. So this morning we pray, by your spirit, open our eyes to truth. Lord, bear witness to us what you would have us to know today. Open our eyes to see you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Throughout the days, my children have been curious, and several times they have asked me a question. And it begins really with the younger ones, because the older ones have heard my answer before. But they ask the question, and it goes something like this. How much money do we have? You ever heard that question? Yep. I'm sure each of you, if you have any children growing up, you've heard the question, how much money do we have? And to hear some of the answers is really funny. Like, how much does a car cost? And some say, cars are really expensive. They probably cost at least $200. Now, those are really expensive. Or there's the million, kajillion, trillion dollars that they might cost. But I have an answer, and I'm going to let my children respond here today. And they're going to tell you, how much money do we have? Abby, Eli, Hannah, are you in here? How much money do we have?
More than enough.
More than enough. Thanks, Eli. We have more than enough. And I think each one of you can attest to that. We have more than enough. And I have a very pointed question for you, one that I hope that you will honestly ask yourself. And this is a very important question, because it leads to a lot of different things in our lives. And here's the question for you. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? There is an attack upon truth this morning across probably our country and around the world, trying to add to Jesus, to make him good enough for people to receive. There is a trend that if we can make Jesus a little more hip, if we can make him a little more in line with the culture of the times, that Jesus will be enough. If we can scale back on some of the brash things that Jesus offered, maybe then he'll be enough. And in our, I think, probably pure motives to see people come to a knowledge of who Jesus is, we go through impure methods of evangelism and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friend, I want to stand before you this morning and say, I want to preach nothing but Jesus and him crucified to you as your pastor. And my hope and prayer is that you will take the message as the body of believers and say, I want nothing more than to proclaim Christ and him crucified, and let the Spirit of God, let him do his work in others. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remind you this morning that we have a verse for the month of February, and it is Ecclesiastes 12:13. And it says something like this. Y'all can say it with me like you're in front of your mirror at home. It says, the end of the matter is this. All has been said. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Thank you. We are facing fear in 2017, and my hope and prayer is that the scripture is helping you to deal with those fears that you are working through as a believer. This morning, we look at Paul's continuation of the cross and his rejoicing at the fact that the first few verses of chapter 2, that the cross is all he wants to talk about. And we spent 2 weeks ago looking at very detailed the cross. We looked at last week looking at the wisdom of God in the cross, and today we look at the word of the cross moving out from ourselves unto others. And the question being, is Jesus enough? And so here's what I would like to propose to you here as we get started. The way that we proclaim the gospel, the way that we proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ, is what we believe that the cross is. And if we think that the cross is enough for us, that Jesus and His work is enough for us, that knowing Jesus is enough, then that's how we will proclaim it. But if we don't believe that knowing Jesus is the greatest of all goods, we will try to modify Him or even entertain others because we believe that Jesus is not enough to fulfill those who we are trying to reach. I will share with you that my great goal is that this church never entertain anyone, but that it proclaim the name of Jesus. And I will say that again because I feel very strongly about that. My hope and prayer is that this church will never entertain anyone, but it will proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I am not an entertainer, and no one on this platform is an entertainer here to make you happy. We are here to present what we have unto the Lord. And that is a very crucial part of why we gather. Taking that one step further, church, you do not need to entertain anyone with Jesus. You do not need to modify who He is when you proclaim Him to your family and to your friends. The Lord has called us merely to be faithful, to be witnesses of who He is. And that's biblical. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, and I appreciate John reading this morning. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Here's my question for you this morning. I'll ask it again. How are we proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ or salvation to those that we love and care about? How are we sharing? If the cross is so precious to us, which was 2 weeks ago, if the wisdom of God makes us stand in awe, which was last week, and we're drawn to proclaiming Jesus Christ because we know that we can't stand it when He's not proclaimed, because we love Him. And when you love something, you talk about it, you proclaim it. How do we proclaim Jesus? And Paul says it here, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And friends, I think we should take the example of Paul and live it out. And so I want to give you two things that I see here that are going on in the way that Paul feels like is his job to communicate Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Here are the two ways. One, clearly. Here's the second one, Christ-centered. So here's what I see in the text this morning. Paul says, I want to clearly proclaim Jesus to you. I don't want to use lofty things that try to elevate or lift up or give to you Jesus. In other words, I think Paul is saying, I don't have to lift up Jesus and decorate Him for you. I don't have to give you lofty words or wisdom. Paul says, I want to give you Jesus. Not the decorations that go around Him. Let me share a few things that I think this is important in. Some think that the power of persuasion is paramount in gospel evangelism. Can I persuade you? Can I get you over the hump? Paul didn't think that. Some think that formulas that are undeniable and syllogisms and things that everything works together, being logical, super logical about here's Jesus and it makes sense. That's not how Paul taught and preached. Paul kept it simple and clear so that they would not miss the focus of his message. And the focus of his message was very simply, Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus reconciles. Jesus makes you alive. Paul was very, very simple and clear. Not with lofty speech, not with lofty wisdom, but with clarity so that the name of Jesus would not be distorted or maimed. You see, sometimes with all of the decorations, you miss the beauty of what it may be at the core. Sometimes for all the icing on the cake, you miss the perfect texture and the perfect flavor of the cake underneath. Paul says, I don't want you to miss Jesus, so I'm not giving you decorations. I'm giving you Jesus. I want you to know Christ and Him crucified. Secondly, Paul said this. He said, for I decided to know nothing among you. In other words, to make known nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've heard in churches and from lots of people the gospel proclamation that begins something like this. Did you know that God has a plan for you? A wonderful plan that you can be a part of. And all you need to do is believe that Jesus died for you. And you can realize this great plan that God has for you. Does that sound like Christ and Him crucified? It doesn't so much to me. Maybe you've heard it something like this. Here's how you can have a better life. You can have Jesus, and He'll give you a better life. He'll make everything better for you. Just come to Jesus. Everything will be better. Does that sound like Christ and Him crucified to you? It does not to me. The point of Paul's message was not how to make you better, your life better, or for you to realize a plan in your life. The point of what Paul taught his people and Paul preached to his people was that Jesus Christ was crucified for your sin to reconcile you unto God. And we will see that throughout this book and the second letter to the Corinthians, that Jesus Christ was on a cross and bled and died to reconcile God's people unto Himself for the glory of the Son. Not for you and your happiness, but for the glory of the Son. Now let me say, we find our greatest happiness in the Son. But it is not for us to acquire for us some sort of lofty, happy life, American dream. It is for us to know Him and find our greatest joy in Him. Jesus, Paul said, it's Jesus and His crucifixion that is the thrust of my message. I don't need decorations. You need Jesus. It's about the cross. So friend, I ask you this morning, in another way, another question. Have we forgotten the power of the gospel? The simple, unadulterated, unmodified, unchanged gospel of Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten the power of the gospel? Have we forgotten the power of the message itself? Is it that we've heard it so much that it's not fresh on our ears? Is it that it's not appealing to a consumer culture like we live in? Is it that we feel like it's not really acceptable or tolerable in our culture, the message of Jesus and the cross? And here is what, when I step back and I see the modifications going on to the clear message of Jesus and the cross, here's what concerns me to my core. For those who feel it necessary to modify, doctor up, and decorate the message of the cross in Jesus Christ, for those who feel that necessary, I wonder if they know the true message of the cross. And I say that concerns me, and it concerns me greatly. Because to be preaching about Jesus and feeling like it's not enough and I've got to add to it or change it, or maybe for some it's too much. I wonder if we really know what saved us. Is Jesus enough for us? Or is he, like Eli says, is he more than enough? At this point, I think I need to stop for a moment. Are you still with me out there?
Yes.
I think I need to stop, and I want to give you, because here, this is something that I fear in our churches today and across the church. Leadership in the church has not done a fair job, a good enough job, communicating to the body of the church the truths of the gospel that we must affirm and know, because they are enough. We don't need to add to it. If you have your Bible, take it out right now. Turn it on. Do whatever you do with it. And turn to Romans chapter 3. And I want to give you something that is not cute, but it is rememberable. And I want to share with you, if you are in a place in which you feel like you need to share the message of Jesus Christ with someone, if you'll remember 3-2-1 go, or 3-2-1 gospel, I'm going to show you how to remember to go to a place that will help walk you through, where you just read the scripture and it will help you to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. If you start there and just read the Bible to someone, it will help you communicate the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. How and why? Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see, you can begin to share the message of Jesus with someone that God is righteous and holy and perfect and in heaven and created all of this. God is holy and good and right and all powerful and created everything for His glory. And then you keep reading. He said, but there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the message of the gospel says, and while God was perfect and glorious and good, Adam in the garden sinned, and we have all inherited this thing called sin within us. And all of us have sinned and broken God's perfect law of righteousness. And we stand convicted before God as guilty. And then we read, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. While we were sinners and guilty before God, He sent His Son as a gift of grace because He loved us, to die on the cross and verse 25, to be a payment. That propitiation just simply means to be a payment by His blood. So you have communicated to folks the clarity of the simple gospel. God is perfect. Man is sinful. Jesus died to pay for our sin on the cross. And in verse 25 again, to be received by faith. and we can communicate to those we care about. But there must be a response. God is holy and perfect and loving. I am sinful and unworthy and guilty. Jesus died on the cross to be a payment by his blood, but I must receive by faith who Jesus is. And that question, at that point, there must be a response to the gospel. The gospel heard is not the gospel received. The gospel understood is not the gospel received. There must be a response, and what it says is to be received by faith. So the question comes in at that point is, will you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith? And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's very simple and it's very complex, but we want to keep the message simple for folks. So we say, well, how do we respond by faith? Well, what we do is, very simply, we come to Jesus by turning away from everything else. We respond to Jesus by believing that what he said is right and true. And as we look to ourselves being our own Lord, we surrender to Jesus being the Lord. Jesus died on the cross to purchase me and my allegiance. I am giving up myself. I am turning from myself and turning to Jesus as my Lord. Will you turn to Jesus today? Will you know him? Will you surrender your own will and turn unto his? Will you respond by faith that this is true, that the Bible is true, and come to know Jesus? 3:21 gospel. Romans 3:21. Begin there and just read. And then just explain what you're reading and share the gospel. Let me give you one other illustration of becoming a Christian. And maybe you're here and you need to hear this. How do you know if you are a Christian or if you believe in this enough or what kind of faith you have to save you? And let me maybe illustrate it like this. Christianity is about loving Jesus more than anything else. It's the greatest commandment that he gave. Love God, love our neighbor, love people. Christianity is about loving Jesus more than anything else. And it's similar to a marriage and a ceremony of a marriage when you say, I am committing myself to you and I am turning myself from any other woman on the face of this earth because I desire you. This is the step of what kind of faith it takes to be a Christian. It is a faith that abandons everything and gives itself freely to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're on your wedding vows, you are saying, I am pledging myself to have you and to know you and to keep myself devoted to you. And this is what Christianity does. And this is why I believe that the Bible speaks of us having a marriage with our Lord Jesus Christ, the church being the bride of Christ. It is, I will keep myself unstained. Men, you keep yourselves holy before your wife because you are representing how you keep yourself holy to Jesus. And faith that Jesus is better keeps you committed to him. What kind of faith do we have in Jesus? Faith that knows he's better than any other option out there. That's the kind of faith that saves you. Not just understanding that Jesus died on a cross. There is a kind of faith that saves. And it's the kind of faith that you have when you marry someone. And think of it like that. Look at verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, by the way. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of God, of men, but in the power of God. Did you catch all that? Paul is trying to put to rest all doubts that Jesus is not enough. Paul is trying to underscore the truth. And in doing so, he says, look, I did not even speak well. I am not a good speaker. I came to you in fear and trembling, verse 3. I didn't come to you with my chest poked out saying, you better know Jesus and be like me because I'm right. He came in fear and in trembling. And he said, my speech was not plausible words of wisdom. I didn't put it all together and have a great speech to you, but I presented it to you in my weakness because I didn't want you to believe me. I didn't want to persuade you to believe. Because if I persuade you to believe, then you might be persuaded in something you don't truly believe. It's not the power of persuasion. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And those cannot coexist. Do you see it? But in demonstration of the Spirit in power. Look, now I'm not saying we don't need to be clear. We've talked about being clear in the gospel message. What I am saying is that we do not need to manipulate and be persuasive, overly persuasive, in trying to convert people to Christianity. That means we need to come with them with a clear message of Jesus and the work of the cross and let the Spirit work and move in His power. Remember a couple weeks ago I shared with you Charles Spurgeon going to church on that snowy day? Do you remember that one? He walked into church on that snowy day and he walked in and he said this man who looked like a deacon that didn't really know a whole lot of what he was doing preached the cross. And Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest evangelists ever to live on the earth, ever to roam, certainly in our day and age, out of a weak man, heard the power of the cross. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse to not urge people to become a believer. I'm giving you boundaries to say they need to believe in Jesus, not in your persuasion. I will not beg you to be a believer. That does great disservice to the name and glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus will not beg you to become a believer. Remember that man that came to him? Said, what do I need to do to be saved? You remember the rich young ruler, don't you? Oh, keep the commands? I've kept all those. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. What did he say, church? Take all you have, sell it, and give it to the poor. And his jaw dropped. And Jesus didn't say, come on, man, you can do it. You can do it. Sell it all you have. It's going to be fine. I'll take care of you. Don't worry, man. Come on. You can do it. Come follow me. I'd really love to have a rich young ruler following me. Come on. Come on, rich guy. Please? Please. I'm Jesus, after all. What did Jesus do? Y'all know. He let him walk right away. Because Jesus wasn't enough for him. Jesus was not enough. Friend, is Jesus enough for you? Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I can look across the room here And I can see people that I know if really bad things happened in your life, you'd still be here every Sunday morning. I know that there are not enough excuses for some of you to keep you out of worship of your God. I know that. Brother Chaz and I even recently talked about trying to persuade and get people to go on church events and whether or not that's good or bad or indifferent. Here's what I do know. I do know that if you love Jesus, nothing will stop you from loving Jesus. If you love Jesus, nothing will stop you from serving and knowing and treasuring Him. That I know. Jesus is enough and needs no decoration or cherry on top. Jesus is enough. I'm gonna shoot back. Some of you will probably remember, but I looked it up last night. Around the year 2000, there was a guy named Billy Mays. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? Anybody? Billy Mays. You probably know him because he was the guy on TV who did all the little infomercials. And you'd see him for 2 minute spots. And one of his products was OxyClean. Now you remember Billy. I've got OxyClean and here's what it'll do. I'll put it in the tub and I'll spin it around and it'll turn white. You need this. You remember Billy, don't you? Now you remember him. I watched on YouTube Billy Mays, which I think has passed away. I watched Billy Mays try to convince me to buy OxyClean. And let me tell you how he did it. He had his 2.5 pound box of OxyClean. He sprayed it on the carpet where the wine was spilled and it magically turned white. He put it in the laundry and the laundry was all clean. And he put it on the grout and he rubbed it off and the grout was all white again. And he said, and you can have this. We've sold millions of buckets of this OxyClean at 2.5 pounds for $40, but we're going to give it to you for... Y'all are so smart. $19.99. Come on, tell him. Wait, come on. Come on, Aaron. But wait, there's more. Okay. If you call now, we'll give you not one, but two buckets of OxyClean, all for just $19.99. But hold it. There's more. If you call before this infomercial ends, while I'm talking right now, we're going to throw in the Super Shammy. I kid you not, the Super Shammy. They threw in the Super Shammy. And then Billy comes in at the very end, says, call now. And then he says, y'all go look this up. It's great. I can't make this stuff up. You call right now? Billy said, and we're not going to send you a 2.5 pound bucket. We're going to supersize it to a 6 pound bucket of OxyClean and the Super Shammy and the spray bottle, all for just $19.99. Jesus is not for sale. Jesus don't need no Super Shammy. Jesus don't need a 6 pound bucket. Jesus don't need to tell you to call now, and He don't need to beg you to come to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns in heaven and has revealed Himself to us through His holy word clearly and unequivocally. And as we read the very words of God, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as given to us by the Word of God and is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. It is an insult to His glory and His honor and His name to think of Him as a commodity that we must get to people. We are not salesmen, friends. We are witnesses of the glory of Jesus Christ. And friends, I say this in sincere love and devotion to you. We are witnesses to the great name of Jesus. May we act like it. May we represent Him fairly for who He is and not think that we must doctor Him up or fix Him for anyone or make Him relevant for anyone. He is Jesus. Take Him or leave Him. You will die in your sins without the man Jesus on the cross paying for your sin. Take Him or leave Him. You are under the curse of God for all eternity without Jesus. Take Him or leave Him. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I do not need to be the hype man for Jesus Christ. He is hyped enough. So my clear message to you is this. We are in our sins. We can be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be saved today if you will believe upon Jesus like you give yourself to your wife or your husband. Will you take Him or leave Him? He is at the altar. Will you take Him or leave Him? His name is Jesus. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, forgive us for not giving you the glory due to your name. May we be faithful witnesses and proclaimers of the message of the cross, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Lord, may we proclaim that clearly. May we proclaim that Christ-centered message. And Lord, draw us near to you, we pray. Draw souls to salvation this morning. Draw people in our lives that will hear this message. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.